around the world, Cameroon, celebrating what God is doing. You know, isn't it good to be here? I tell you what, I'm so excited. And I'm so excited about the Word of God. The Ten Commandments and helping the families and helping the homes. Boy, this is an exciting day in which we live in. And I'm so glad that God gave us His Word, something that we can stand on, that's firm, foundational. And we know that it's going to be here today, tomorrow, yesterday, today, and forever. So we're going to be talking about an interesting word today, honor. Honor. The survival of society requires honor. Maybe that's a word that needs to be more a part of our language. Maybe it needs to be more of our DNA. Because we're going to ask the question, is there honor in the home? As we look at this, it's in reality, it's a blueprint. In the blueprint for the home, a successful, happy home, we find that the Word of God, it gives us 10 principles. And inside of these 10 principles, we find a very, very special verse. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. The Scripture says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Very, very interesting. And when I started studying that verse, I hit the word honor. And I couldn't go no further. So therefore, you have to ask yourself the question, is there honor in the home? We're going to be looking at it. Honor in the home, which means we look at that word honor. That your father and your mother, in other words, parents in the home, we'll be looking at that. And then the promise in the home that your days, talking about you as an individual, that your days may be long upon the land that God gives you, that is God's gift. So looking at this, we're trying to establish and reestablish and reaffirm the position in the place of the home. I read the words back in 1996, Adrian Rogers, who is the former pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee, who's gone on to be with the Lord, and he's up there, and Brother Dan's father and up there, they're running around in circles preaching to each other. So they're up there in glory just shouting and having a good time. But he wrote these words. He says, it always amazes me when evangelical Christians are accused of trying to cram their family values down other people's throats. Really? Who has redefined when life begins? It's not Christians. Who has changed the way Americans think about premarital sex? Don't look at us. Who is eager to reshape our definition of family to include any and every grouping of people imaginable? Back in 1996, whoa! Has it changed? Reality says no. We're still struggling with those same foundational issues of today. And I think this last presidential election, if you ask me, it was a moral election. And people are going to say, as Bill Clinton, it was the economy, stupid. No, it was a moral election. And what you're beginning to see is there's the vision inside of our country that is becoming more and more profound, because we're looking at, in America, nearly over, just a little over 50% of our nation chose to follow the leadership of that one who says, kill babies. In other words, abortion upon demand. It was that same one who we began to look at supporting premarital sex by sex education and giving out free contraception in public schools. They say, oh, we can reduce things if we'll just make it free to everybody. Well, in redefining the home and homosexuality and moving away from Christian ethics and liberty, yes, that's what was voted on. And what you can recognize, and you can see that many will argue, is about the economy. But if you look at our country, if you look at our nation right now, you'll see that this chart right here, look at the number that voted for Obama. 62,611,250. And then for Romney, 59,134,475. And then others who threw in there, 1,968,682. But what's interesting about this chart right here, do you see all that red area? That red area is designed, that was the Republican side, that was those who voted for Mitt Romney. You can see the land mass was primarily the United States from the conservative side. And are you asking me, was Mitt Romney the real great leader that would lead our country out? I don't know that. Mitt Romney's foundational belief system is not my foundational belief system. But he did have principles that I do believe in. And so therefore, when you're looking at this, you can see that America, if you drew the line, hey, look, we're almost 50-50. That, what that means is, think about it. That means that in the year 2013, we've got one of the greatest opportunities in the world to lead people to Jesus Christ. Man, just think about it. Over half of our country needs Jesus. Over half of our country needs the foundational principles. Man, we ought to get excited about this. And you can say, oh man, it's going to be terrible. No, no. You know what? If he tightens up our pocketbook just a little bit, it may make us bend our knees a little bit more. And so therefore, what we're looking at here is that God wants to bring about some great things. So you say, can our homes survive in the society? Is there hope for the home? Has sexuality been so marred? Confusion of the genders has begun. An avalanche of dehumanizing men and women into no feelings. Listen, folks, is there honor in the home? I say the home that makes the difference is your home. That's it. The home that makes the difference is your home. I watched a movie this last week about this guy that got in trouble. He played lacrosse. His father was a Marine. His father taught him. He loved his father very much. Father went over to Afghanistan and he was killed. And yet this boy who had anger and all inside of him, anger in school, anger on the field, he got in trouble because he damaged some school property, put him in jail, and there was a Marine in whom his father had rescued. This Marine came and took him out. And took him out into a deserted area. And there was a shack there. And there was he gave him just a sledgehammer. And he gave him the thing, said, tear it down. And for a solid week, he was tearing down that shed. And he at the end of the week, he told this Marine, he says, I'm confused. And the Marine says, good. This whole week was about you feeling anything. Feeling. So many people have lost the ability just to feel. So as we move into the home, we're going to look at this honor by definition. Honor in the home. The scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. So honor, if I took a stab at it, honor exhibits a good name, meriting respect and recognition as a person in standing with a title or symbol of distinction, exhibiting ethical conduct and integrity. Now, I know that really blessed your heart, didn't it? How would you describe honor? How would you put it into words? Definition in Webster, a good name, public esteem, reputation. Showing usually merited respect, recognition, pay honor to our founder. Privilege, had the honor of joining with the captain for dinner. A person of superior standing, now used especially for a title of a holder of an office, if your honor please. Or one who brings respect or fame. In other words, an honor to the profession. If you look into the Hebrew word in Briggs and Stratton, you would see that the word honor means to be heavy, be weighty, be grievous, be hard, be rich, be honorable, be glorious, be burdensome, be honored. So honor carries the idea of something that's carrying weight. So when you say honor your parents, it's something that is very heavy. It's something that's meaningful. Well, let's just take a quick journey and let's go through the scriptures. I want to give you about 10 pictures. Oh, in just fast pace, honor. Honor is the result from action. God said to the children of Israel, said, look, I am going to make Pharaoh and his armies honor me. What did he do? He sent 10 plagues. And what did they do? They gave honor to God. So honor is the result from action. In Exodus 14, 17, in Exodus 20, 12, honor results from command. Honor your father and your mother. That's a command. Numbers 22, 15, honor-based performance. Balak said, look, Balaam, I'll pay you off. I'll pay you a bunch of money if you'll just go out and curse Israel so that we can defeat them. And the scripture says in Numbers 22:15, he says, "Am I not able to honor you? Am I not able to put the wealth upon you?" What I'm trying to do is capture this word honor as it relates to our parents. Honor by command with promise, Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor for achievement, Judges 13:6. Then Manoah said to the angel, "What is your name? That when your words come to pass, we may honor you." So honor by achievement. Honor with presence after Saul sinned. Saul was the first king. Samuel was the prophet. And after Samuel said to him, that, "Look, you've sinned against God," Samuel said, "Please, Samuel, go with me in front of the people. Walk with me so we may worship God together." What was honor? Honor me with your presence. Honor by command with a promise, Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor for achievement, Judges 13:16. Honor with prayers, with presence, 1 Samuel 15:27. Honor with humility, 2 Samuel 6:20. Oh, do you remember that one? Okay, you remember that. You got that memorized, don't you, Johnny Bo? It's that time in which David, they were bringing back the Ark of the Covenant. And in front of the Ark of the Covenant, when they were coming to Jerusalem, David had this linen cloth on him that was worn by the prophets. And he was dancing up a storm. And here's the King of Kings, man. Here he is leading the nation of Israel dancing. And all of a sudden his wife got him to the side and said, "You made a fool out of yourself." And she said, "Honey, it wasn't me making a fool. I was dancing for God. And you may not honor me, but all the maidens who saw me giving, humbling myself before God, they will honor me." What is it? Honoring before God, even when people honor God in sickness and death, Job 14:8. Honor by giving, Proverbs 3:9. Wisdom brings honor, Proverbs 4:7. Honor comes from the heart, Isaiah 29:12. Let me give you that one real quick. That was talking about Isaiah. Isaiah was telling the people of the land, said, "Look, you're telling God, we love you, but with your heart, you're far from me." Honor means the heart and the lips are in agreement. So when you tell dad or mom, "I love you," you mean it from the heart. When you're respecting and you're giving weight, you're giving worth, you're bubbling from that, from inside of the heart. Honor moves responsibility. Moves with responsibility, Isaiah 43:19. Honor acts with integrity, Isaiah 58:13. Well, okay, Johnny Bo, you got it before you go to sleep? Okay, good. Because let me tell you what it doesn't mean. You with me? Let me give you a picture of what dishonor means. Sum it up, Antichrist. Here's what the Antichrist says. The Antichrist says, "I'm not going to worship God. I'm not going to respect God. What I'm going to do is worship myself, worship the gods that I want. I'm going to disrespect God, and I'm going to do things my way." If you want a picture of dishonor, look at Antichrist. Okay, you want to look at the Pharisees. Let's go back to the early day. Those religious people back in the days of the Lord Jesus, in which Jesus, they got on to Jesus because his disciples ate food without washing their hands. Do you always wash your hands before you eat? You should, but I'm talking about this was for religious reasons. What did he say? He said, "Guys, you're dishonoring God by your tradition, because this is what you do. You say to your parents," he said, "anything that I would give to you, korban." And when he said korban, what did he say? "Anything that I would give to you, I'm giving that to God, making the word of none effect." What does that mean? That means dishonoring parents with a religious smokescreen. We are to take care of our parents. We are to show honor and respect, be it with dollars, be it with times, be it with energy, be it with our words. We are to before God. So dishonor was seen in light of that. But I want to move you real quick, because there's parents in application that says honor your father and your mother, your parents. Excuse me. We have to reach a point where we say enough's enough. Look, guys, you may be getting bombarded from the different cultures, but God gave us families for living together. Look at the Garden of Eden. God gave us families for learning. Look at the responsibility of the home. God gave us the promise for living. In other words, if you disrespect your parents, you know what you're doing? You're cutting in hours of your life. I mean, they may take you out early. But you know, if you disrespect your parents, God says you're shortening your life. So what does He do? We need to train our children. How do we train our children? Number one, how do you gain your children's honor? You show it by loving them. By loving them. Luke 15, 20 says, and he arose, came to his father, and when he had a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran up and fell on his neck. And you know what that man did to that boy? He what? He kissed him. That's short. You know what kids need? Kids need touching. Kids need touching. In other words, kids need hugs and not drugs. We got to reach that point in which you can literally put your arms around your son and say, I love you. Listen to Charles Swindoll, what he said. He said, many a young woman who opts for immoral sexual relationships does so because she can scarcely remember a time when her father so much as touched her. Unaffectionate dads, without wishing to do so, can trigger a daughter's promiscuity. Whoa! What a measurement! We need to love. We need to show it. We need to touch them, grab them, hug them. Many cases, kiss them. Boy, your teenage boy wants that, doesn't he? Hey, look, love him. And when he don't want love, what do? You give him love. Give it to him. Number two, show it by lifting them up. Proverbs 11:3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? In other words, blessing them. Kids need strokes and not pokes. Do you know what that means? Kids need strokes and not pokes. We don't need to tear our kids down. We build them up. You can destroy your kids by saying, you dummy, y'all not done that. Hey, look, stroke, encourage them. You know what else kids need? Kids need listening to. Kids need ears to hear. Your ears. 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, when they come in early in the morning, your kids need to hear you. Are you available? Or say, we'll talk about it in the morning. No, that's not what happened. Kids need to know that you're willing to listen. And you know what, parents, we need to do? We need to keep our mouths shut till they finish. In other words, all of a sudden a teenage boy starts talking, and before he ever gets the words out of his mouth, you ought to do bam, 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 bam. A teenage boy didn't need to hear bam, 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 bam. They need to hear, Dad cares about what I'm going through. Listen to them. Mom, listen to them. These kids need it. They also need praying. Kids need the protection in prayer. They need it. Wise encouragement is better than lavish praise. Kids need to be encouraged. What else? We need to show them. Show them by limiting them. Proverbs 6:27 says, Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Listen, folks. Listen, mom and dad. Your kids need for you to say no. Boy, that's hard, isn't it? No. Your kids need to know that when you set a time for them to be at home, that's when they're at home. Your kids need to know that you're going to put limitations and you're going to live by those limitations. Now, when you set those limitations, do them in love. Not in brassy boldness, but do it in love. And a failure to place limitations on a child communicates not freedom, but rejection. I'll never forget, I had a group of young people I was working with at Faith Baptist in West Point. They come from homes, they use the big word dysfunctional. Okay? We had about 20 of them in there. I said, what would y'all rather have? Would y'all rather have parents that said, be in at 10 o'clock and love you so much? Or would you rather have parents that say, just come in whenever you get ready? You know what they said? The whole bunch said, I would rather have parents that told me to be in 10 and love me. That's what kids are asking for. Now, they're going to push you to the limit. Make no bones about that. But they got to know. Society looks upon limitation as something bad, but it's the most valuable thing that the parents can do. Show it by leading them. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Let me give you an illustration that I used in our small group this morning. There was this Christian family. This boy sassed his mother. Y'all know what sassing mean? Talking back. Okay. There was this boy that talked back to his mother. And his father went up and got in his face and said, son, he said, when you talk back to your mother, you sin against God. Because God says, honor thy father and mother. Secondly, son, when you sassed your mother, you didn't show her the respect. She went to the very valley of death to bring you into this world, and you didn't show her respect. And thirdly, son, said, when you sassed your mother is my wife, and I ain't gonna let nobody talk to my wife that way. And so all of a sudden, you get the picture? That dad set this thing straight. And so therefore we need it. You teach it by living them and show it by laughing with them. You know what? It's hard for parents to do. It's hard for parents to lighten up a little bit. It's hard for parents just to laugh. But if you read in Luke 6:21, blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Make your home a happy place. Make it to be a place on the block that the kids come and the first place they go to is the refrigerator. And they eat everything in the house. And they come in. Make it a place that they can come and that they can enjoy. Yes, they're going to bounce on the couch. Yes, they're going to make it a happy place. Then your kids will know it. We can honor by definition. We can honor by parents in application. But there's also a promise through demonstration. In other words, the promise is your days. Honor your father and mother that your days. Oh, in your bulletin, you can look at this. You see the other side of the bulletin? You see all that stuff at the bottom that's written? In other words, very early, establish a rule of absolute respect for mom and show your children that mom and dad are called to be obedient to the Heavenly Father and honor your mate in the presence. Man, sometimes you need to go up to your wife in the presence of your kid and just put a big one on her. And your kid's jaw are going to go, wow. And they're going to say, you know what? Mommy loves daddy. They're going to love it. They need to see it. They need to understand it. There's something special here. Help your children to honor Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthday. Help your children to honor them. Oh, then, when they're a little bit older, explain to your children ways of honoring the parents in love and respect and prayer, seeking counsel and physical care. Deal with them strictly with disrespect and sass. Determine to avoid using humorous or general put-downs of your mate. Don't put down your wife. Let me say that again. Don't put down your wife in the presence of your kids. Don't do it. You may think it's funny, but they're recording it, every word of it. We need to honor them. Lift them up. Encourage children. Encourage children, friends, to honor their parents. No, they may not have the wonderful home that you got, but you can encourage your friends' friends to honor their parents. Be ready to admit it when you blow it. Then go on from there. Remind your children of the promise attached to the commandment. Remind them that they want children someday to respond to them in like fashion. So there's a gift. All we can see this gift of grace and observation transposed into adoption. One of the beautiful, most beautiful pictures in all the world is the gift of God in the illustration of spirit of adoption. Now, what is the spirit of adoption? And we're going to follow these scriptures. It says, we cry out to our Father as children. The spirit of adoption. There's the waiting for adoption. The process of waiting is filled with hope. There's the privilege of adoption that we will deal with. The position in the family creates opportunity. It really does. There's the heir of the adoption. We are sons of God through Christ. There's the pleasure of adoption. In other words, adoption experiences the pleasures of being chosen. Oh, before we read these scriptures, I'm going to go back over these. Okay, on this last section, I was just giving you an overview of it. But I want you to see it. I want you to understand the spirit of adoption.
And somewhere while you're sleeping,
love takes you in, there's something about the reality of adoption. And we're going to take just a very special moment to speak to that. Sonia, do you have anything you'd like to share? That way they can hear.
Just that it's been an humbling experience.
We shared that together this morning, and what we're going to do now as a church, we're going to have a time of prayer for this very special couple and the family coming together. Because you see, there's nothing like the spirit of adoption than seeing it. And it's taken about 3 years for this process. It began There he is. I hope you got a camera. Yeah, there he is. Come on in. Hey, family, why don't y'all come down front here with me just a moment, okay? Come on down front. Christian, what a beautiful name, what a beautiful family. For Hannah, Noah, man, isn't that neat? For a very, very special family. Well, as a family, we'd like to do two things today. One, we'd like to present you with a family Bible to share. And it's got Christian's name in it in this day. It's something that we can give to you in this family as they share together. And the second thing we'd like to do is we'd like to have a word of prayer for you and the family. Okay? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for this very, very special day. Thank you for this family who has opened up their arms and welcomed Christian home. Lord, it's the blessing of life. It's the spirit of adoption. So God, we pray for comfort. We pray for encouragement. We pray that this godly home would raise Christian in such a very, very special way. Let him experience the love that is found with Hannah, with Noah, with Jamie, with Sonia. God, I pray for him. God, I pray for this family. Bless them, Lord, with your miracles. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You got a picture of Christian? Hey, Christian, can you come down here just a minute, buddy? Getting right in the middle. Your brother and your sister, right there. That's where we... Uh-oh. You got to do it quick. So get it quick. All right. Did we get it? Okay. That's good. Thank y'all so much. Okay. We'll let you... Amen. When you look at that, you can see the spirit of adoption. Think about those words, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. The spirit of adoption talks about we cry out as fathers. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And in the same way that Kristen will cry out to Jamie and cry out to Sonia, it's the same way we cry out to our Heavenly Father and we say, Abba, Father. There was the waiting process, as I mentioned, about 3 years. But in Romans 8:21 and following, it says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. We're waiting there for this body. The adoption in the presence. There's a privilege of adoption. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 1 through 5, where it says, who Israel, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. All of these things. We have privileges. We have privileges as family. Can you see Christian now has a brand new life? Even so much, we have that same type of brand new life with all the privileges of the adoption, with the glory, the covenant, the promises to be raised in a Christian home. And there's also the heir of the adoption. We are sons of God according to Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. The Scripture says, to redeem them whereby under the law that we may receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent His Spirit of His Son into the your heart's crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Jesus Christ. We have become sons of God through Jesus Christ. There's also the pleasure of adoption. The Scripture says, in Ephesians 1, 3 and following, it says, and having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. You know what's so special about that verse? God chose you. You know what's so special about that verse? Jamie and Sonia, Noah, Hannah chose Christian. You have been chosen. God loves you that much. So in this spirit, let us bring forth honor into the home. Let us honor the home. Let parents honor in the home. Let there be a promise that's lifted up in honor. And let God's gift of the home even so much just flourish in our life. Let it be exemplified in our teaching, in our preaching, in the home, the foundation of our faith. Let it be this gift of God and this promise of life as viewed through the spirit of adoption. Think about it. God chose you. Now, in that same spirit, honor. Let there be honor in the home. Let's pray. Father, as we come before You today, we honor You because You are God. We praise You because You chose us. We thank You that You brought us into Your family. And we thank You that we will always be a part of Your family. We can never be broken away. We have the security, Lord. We have the hope. We have the help. We have the encouragement. We have the love. We have the limitation. Lord, so much You've given to us. Now, Lord, let there be blessings in the home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Is there honor in your home? Where does it all begin? Number one, it begins by you honoring God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Secondly, He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Is there honor of God in your home? Is there honor of parents? Loving and living before the children and teaching them how to become men and women of God. Is there honor in your home with your children? Worshiping and loving God and honoring the parents. Is there honor? Let there be honor. Let there be hope. Let there be praise. If you've not given your heart to Jesus Christ, then do so this day. Begin honoring God right now. How do I do that? I say, God, I want to be Yours. Come into my life, Lord, now. I want to honor You. Forgive me my sins. God, I didn't mess up. But I want to honor You the rest of my life. If You'll do that, You'll come in. If you want honor in your home, the prayer altars are going to be open. One of the most important things that parents can do is to pray for the children. Let there be prayer. Let the children pray for the parents. Let there be prayer. What is God speaking to you today to do? As we question that word, is there honor in the home? Honor God, honor parents. Honor. Let's stand together and sing as people make decisions.